WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes out of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're back in the Book of Revelation here on WGOD Radio, here for today and tomorrow, and for the rest of this week. And we're in the middle of eavesdropping in, actually snooping in, and reading somebody else's mail. The pastors, though the text says angel, the word angelos probably, as you know, means messenger. And in my opinion, I don't think Jesus is dictating a letter for a man to give to an angel. I think he's talking to the messenger or the proclaimer or the preacher of these churches. We're in chapter 2, verse 12. It says, to the angelos of the church at Pergamos, write, these things says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. I believe these letters are for the pastors of these churches, the messengers, those that bring the word of God here at these churches, the spiritual leaders of these churches. I believe that's who he means by angelos, not an angel. Unfortunately, it's been translated angel. So that's where we're at. This is a 35-minute message, so this will play tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. And the Compromising Church, it says in my Bible, and another name for this would be the Worldly Church at Pergamos. It's a church that's going to be reprimanded for compromising, for changing what they do in order to be pleasing to the world. And yet, don't we see that today at so many churches? So here's part one now of this message. Again, for more info on this ministry, we have a brand new app that's out now. And you can search for WGOD Radio in either the Google Play Store or the App Store. You'll find it. It's a little blue crown. Easier to find in the app. Apple App Store, if you have an iPhone, WGOD Radio, you'll see it there. A little more difficult with an Android. You might have to put in WGOD Radio Broadcast and find it. Either way, I encourage you to download the app. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. There's a bunch of programs. There's links to other programs. My website, WGODradio.com. There's 10 years worth of programs on there. And we're in the Book of Revelation. At church, we're in the book of 1 John. And you just heard that sermon Monday and Tuesday from chapter 2. Jesus Christ, our defense attorney. Okay, we're looking at this corrupt or this worldly church at Pergamos here today. And tomorrow, let's get into the Word of God now.
We're looking today at the worldly church of Pergamos. Everyone has a handout? I don't have one, but that's okay. I don't need one. We're going to go 20 miles from Smyrna now. That's where we left off last week. As the mailman goes 20 miles inland, like Ephesus and Smyrna, it was a wealthy city, but it was wicked. People in its pagan cults worshipped Athena, Asclepius, Dionysus, and Zeus. Now, Pergamos was famous for its university with a library of around 200,000 volumes and for manufacturing parchment, resulting in a paper that was called Pergamena. The atmosphere of this city was adverse to any effective Christian life and testimony. Another fine place to start a ministry, huh? Where Satan's throne is. Sort of like being a Christian in Syria or Iraq today is the equivalent here of... I mean, imagine going into ISIS's camp where the black flag is and putting up your Christian flag. That's what it must have been like in this city here, Pergamos. Slowly but surely, the same problems are arising in this country that all these other cities had to deal with. Hostility to the word of God and hostility to the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm always amazed at why sometimes I see on ESPN that they call Tim Tebow the most polarizing figure in sports. I don't get it. How can you do that? How can you say that about this man? Because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. The very same thing that got John on the island of Patmos in the first place. I found myself on the island of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and the word of God. Now, the problem here with this church here in Pergamos is worldliness. Worldliness corrupts a church, in case you have not noticed. Four things can cause a church to become worldly. Number one, the church and its members begin to participate in worldly functions. Hello, bingo, anyone? The church and its members allow worldly activities to take place in the church and in the homes of its members. Number three, the church begins to baptize and accept people as members who have not truly repented and have turned from the world to Jesus Christ. And number four, the church and its members allow false teaching and preaching. Nothing corrupts a church any quicker than worldliness. Now, Pergamos is a corrupted church, a worldly church. Pergamos is a picture of the corrupted church that is married to the world. Now let's listen into the Lord's instructions here to this church. We're in Revelation chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he that has the sharp sword with two edges," or double-edged sword. "These things says he that has the sharp sword with two edges." What does that mean? That he has a sharp sword with two edges. Does this mean that he has a sword strapped to his leg? No, let's turn to this text here. Let me open up my Bible here. And if you look in chapter 1, verse 16, you'll see the answer to this. "He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." This sword here is his word, with which he will slay all unbelievers at his return. 2 Thessalonians 1:6, "Seeing is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The sharp two-edged sword is the word that comes out of his mouth. Also, please, let's turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire." Imagine this. Picture this. "On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, so that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. No more away in the manger, no crib for a bed when he comes back. Not this time. This time he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance, it says. Think about how we use that word, vengeance, taking vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And here it is right here. Out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword, meaning all he has to say on this day, you've heard me say it many times in here, two words. What does he say when he comes back? Drop dead. It's not what he says today. It's, I love you today. Won't you please turn from your sin? God says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient, obstinate people. This is the day of grace. The Lord stands here today, welcomes everyone into his kingdom with outstretched arms. All you have to do is receive him. Once this comes, it's too late for that. Inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God or obey the gospel. He won't be spit on. He won't be blasphemed. He won't be betrayed. And he won't be crucified, not again. No one's going to say, oh, look, mommy, it's baby Jesus. Not when he comes back. He's coming back in flaming fire, in awe. And everyone will bow the knee to the majesty of the Son of God when he comes back. This is how he's coming back. Now, the commendation is next. Thus says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13. I know your works. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. I know where you live. Even where Satan's seat is. Seat, the Greek word thronos, meaning throne. Whether or not there's the first church of Satan there, I don't know. I used to think not. But there's a first church of Satan in half the cities in this country right now. So why not there? In Michigan, they have erected statues to Lucifer. Have you seen that? Standing there smiling with little kids there in his arms. That's what they have there now. So if it says where his throne is, I don't know. There very well might be a throne there that says Lucifer on it. Or president. Maybe the presidential seal will be there. I don't know. Nothing would surprise me anymore. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And you hold fast my name, and have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, which was slain among you, where Satan dwells. By the way, the Greek word for martyr and witness is the same word, martyro. Sometimes it's translated witness. Now, as history has it, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle for not denying his Savior. Reminds me, too, of Polycarp. We looked at him last week, didn't we, or week before, right? 86 years old. He says, for 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. And old Polycarp got out his gavel and said, bring it on, with a cane in one hand and a gavel in the other. He says, bring it on. That's what Polycarp says. Now here this man walks into a bronze kettle. By the way, could you do that? Could you say that? I'll tell you what. The nerve to do this doesn't come from owning two Cadillacs in your garage. It comes through the flames of adversity is what makes you walk into a bronze kettle, whistling Dixie, or saying, for 86 years I've served him, he's done me no wrong yet. Bring it on. Doesn't come from living high on the hog. It comes through God making your life difficult. Did you know that? You're in good shape this week. I'm curious how these guys did it. I want to know. I've got my suspicions. Let's turn, please, if you would, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I want to know how this guy can walk into a bronze kettle so I can go and do likewise. Because I don't know about you, but I'm just not quite ready to be fried today. But I will. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 4. What gave these guys the unction that they have? Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Now a herald cried aloud, saying, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time when you hear the sound of the cornet, or the trumpet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship that same hour will be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." All right, there's the command. The same command, by the way, I expect to be given here in the future very soon. The same thing that happened in Daniel's time, if you ask me for my opinion, I say is going to happen again here in the world coming up soon. Bow down and worship the image of the beast. Here's the response, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up." In Esposito vernacular, it's taketh a hike. O king, are you kidding me? The way I used to live all my life, you're going to threaten me with a little bit of fire? You should have done that 40 years ago when I was an unbeliever. Not anymore. That don't work anymore. God snatched me out of the fire. I love the King James English here. It says that we're not careful to answer you. Talk about bull in a china shop. We're not careful. We're going to steamroll over this. We're not careful. Like politicians are today. And people today that don't want to offend anyone, right? Every word that they think out is carefully planned. We're better, you know, except for Donald Trump, who just says whatever he wants. Other than that, everybody else plans out what they says. These guys, we're not careful. We're not going to think about what's going to happen. We're not careful. No, I will not do it. This needs to be your attitude today. When these people come walking here through the door and they say, "Are there any Christians here?" Now, Bill there is first in line. He's promised. The line starts with him. Are there any Christians? There's two. There's three, four, five. You see, six. Everyone here will get in line because something happens to you when you get in line. But you see, you got to make this step. It's just like that Indiana Jones movie when he throws the stones down there and then all of a sudden and he goes like that and then there's a plank there. You ever see that before? But you got to take that step. And this is what happens when you take this step. Verse 23. Now these three men were raptured before it got hot in the kitchen. Oh no, that's not what it says. Pardon me. These three men were thrown into the furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." So he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the fire, and they've got no hurt on them. And the fourth looks like," what does it say? "The Son of God." That's what happens to you when you take that step. I can't explain it, but he goes with you in the fire when you take that step. All those people we've seen have lost their head and have been killed. I'm willing to bet you that they saw something nobody else could see on the television through what this word tells me. Like Antipas and these three, when you obey the Lord and stand tall in the faith, something happens. Sometimes you have hurt. Sometimes you don't have hurt. These guys didn't have it. But they said, even if not, we're still not going to. The outcome doesn't matter. Are you willing to go into the fire is what matters. These guys had no hurt. Antipas had a lot of hurt. But God went through him. Went through it with him. Turn with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at the last recorded words ever spoken by the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Says, at my first answer, it's the word apologetos. Our word apologetics comes from this. Our defense, some translations say at my first defense. At my first, everybody there? At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it might not be laid to their charge. Now look at what he says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See, when everyone else fails you, God stands with you and goes with you through the fire. I'll venture to guess every time. These were the last words that he spoke. I believe before he went to the chopping block, he saw visibly with his own eyes the Son of God right next to him, encouraging him, giving him strength, and saying, just one minute longer. Eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he'll preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author, Dr. Adrian Rogers, with a treasure from the Word.
Psalm 119 and verse 89, which I think is a key verse. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful verse? That tells us, dear friend, that we can depend upon the Word of God. It is not up for vote. The Bible is not the book of the year. It is the book of the ages. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The Bible is the greatest book ever written, but there are some enemies. There's the liberal who tries to water down the Word of God. There's the atheist who denies the Word of God. There's the cultist who twists the Word of God. But I really believe that the great enemy of the Bible today is the so-called Christian who does not love it, memorize it, practice it, and obey it. Because if we would do that, we'd be able to deal more effectively with these others.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
We're dust to dust, breathing amazing grace. Beloved of God, never to be the same. Your name is great, and you are good, so good. And you always keep your promises. Your ways of loving us are so high, so high. Your ways of loving us are so high, so high. Your ways of loving us so deep and wide, and never will they change. How we love your ways. Because you are enough for us. We cast our cares, trust in your heart for us. Your name is great, and you are good, so good. And you always keep your promises. And you won't betray your faithfulness. Oh, and your ways of loving us are so high, so high. Your ways of loving us are so high, so high. Your ways of loving us so deep and wide and ever will. Change how we love your ways. Oh, how we love.